The task force happened. The governor appointed most of the people who were on it. Very little happened. Nothing truly meaningful. Even the rule they made regarding larger operations, if they just do them seven at a time or put in wells seven at a time instead of a lot at a time, they can do just about anything they want. So there's no change at all from that task force.
Well, talk about the two particular initiatives, number 75 and number 78. Number 75, first of all.
Number 75 is local control for local governments. They're authorized to do anything from absolutely nothing all the way to a full ban or all kinds of things in between. But they're given authority over the oil and gas development that occurs where they are. Right now, local governments don't even have the ability to use local zoning on oil and gas. That's the only industry that they're not allowed to use local zoning. So essentially, we're giving them a power that they should already have and do have for other industries.
This goes right to the heart of that recent Supreme Court decision overturning Colorado's, Longmont's attempts to regulate industry, including what happened in Lafayette and also in Fort Collins. Is this a direct response to those efforts, Lafayette, Fort Collins, Longmont?
Well, in a sense, we had to start before the cases were decided. However, in many ways, it is a direct response to the lawsuits that happened against those communities. So, yeah.
Well, one of the arguments that was put forward by Governor Hickenlooper and other state regulators was that you cannot have a patchwork quilt of regulations happening around the state. The only way to comprehensively tackle an industry like this is to have statewide regulations.
Well, like I said, other industries do have to put up with local zoning and local ordinances that affect their industries. In terms of a patchwork, you know, in many ways that's already true because they do have their memorandums of understanding, not that those have real, you know, are well enforced or anything. But they do have memorandums. This happens in every state. Every state has its own little patchwork quilt. So this is something that already happens. It's just a part of doing business.
Talk about initiative number 78, because that's specific regarding oil and gas activity that's already there, but it's changing setbacks.
This is regarding new oil and gas.
New oil and gas.
It doesn't really apply to what's already there. And the idea is that the state right now has 500-foot setbacks from homes and 1,000 feet from hospitals and schools. And studies have shown that that's simply insufficient. We chose to run 2,500 feet based on health, safety, and welfare. There's been research showing that there are much greater health impacts when you're within half mile, roughly, of oil and gas development. There are actually very current studies that show that experts recommend 1 mile, and our setback is only really a half mile. So it's actually, you could consider it kind of a compromise.
There has been a lot of media attention on the fundraising aspect of this, insofar as the opposition to both of these initiatives, and indeed anything that seems to regulate oil and gas, has raised millions and millions and millions, and it's just the beginning. We saw this pattern happening with the Longmont ballot measure, with basically any other ballot measure where local communities try to exert some kind of control or statewide initiatives on this. Are you ready for the fight that really is ahead, given this huge industry that you're coming up against?
We knew that going in, that they were going to be able to outraise us considerably. I mean, that would be foolish not to know that. However, in those campaigns, and many of us took part in those campaigns, or even all of, you know, a lot of them, we were outspent tremendously. You know, 500 to 1, 300 to 1. We already were outspent, and yet we prevailed. So we're feeling empowered to do this as well.
When you have ballot initiatives like this, there are some people who say this is indicative of a failure of the state legislature to tackle these issues, and so that's why citizens need to come forward and try to fix this, quote unquote. What are your thoughts on that?
It's a failure on the part of all of state government. The current COGCC, they're the group who regulate it for the state, the agency, their rules are a failure. They even have a rule that you can waive all the rules if the operator can't make it or can't quite comply with them. The state legislature isn't responding. Even reasonable siting, there was a bill to change the ability of a local government to site, that is the zoning, couldn't make it through the House. There was a liability bill, couldn't make it through. The legislature did make it through the House. Another one to change the laws so that it would regulate the industry rather than foster or push the industry or give it special favors. That one couldn't make it through, couldn't even make it out of committee. So we do consider the legislature pretty hopeless right now.
This is a statewide measure.
Yes.
The Front Range has a whole set of issues. The Western Slope have a whole set of issues and very often different demographics.
Right.
And so a lot of this is related to Front Range issues. The measures, Longmont and Fort Collins, fracking coming up, very much against urban development. So what's your campaign like on the Western Slope? Is it a different style of campaign?
Of course.
What reaction are you getting from people out there who have quite a different relationship to oil and gas?
Of course, you don't walk door to door in the West, on most of the Western Slope. So of course it's a different campaign. However, some people on the Western Slope have been the most anxious to see certain of these bills because they have been impacted for a long, long time and they have felt there was no one to carry their case.
They, of course, have been dealing with this long before the Front Range started to do it. So what is the status right now? You're in the petition signature gathering stage.
Right.
What is the goal? What do you need to get in terms of the number of signatures to get this on the ballot?
We need just short of 100,000, 98,000+. But our goal is to get 160,000.
To give you a buffer zone, as it were.
Yes, to give the buffer zone. Because they always, people don't put their name correct. They do something wrong as they're signing the petition, and then those don't count.
And how long do you have?
We have until August 8th.
And so how are things been going so far, given that this is very much a grassroots effort like other campaigns have
been? It's a grassroots effort. At events is growing extremely well. In fact, people stand in line to sign the petitions. So, that's kind of an indication that it's going well.
Are you actively looking for volunteers? Do you need people
to
participate?
Absolutely.
So how does this relate to, say, some of the other measures that could be on the ballot too, community rights? Because that ties in very much to this too.
The community rights bill is just different. They do not, they're not specific to the subject of oil and gas at all. They tackle the subject of the state control in a very different way. They don't have anything that relates to setbacks in general to protect health and safety. They just don't. They just don't address it. It's a different measure. It's a different fight, you might say. Then there is, of course, the industry initiative that is exactly the opposite of our number 75. And it would, it pretends to give local control, but then it sort of enshrines state preemption, which is exactly what we have now and is the opposite of true local control.
We talked about the fact that the state legislature has not been able to get any legislation passed that tackles this particular issue. We also talked about Congressman Jared Polis's role in recent elections around statewide ballot measures. Have you gotten any support, any feedback from any elected officials on your efforts here? Do you have any people who are going to be part of your campaign?
Well, the elected officials, a lot of them are running for office this year, so I would expect them to concentrate on their own campaigns. Have we gotten positive support or vocal encouragement? Yes, we're not encouraging. This is a nonpartisan issue, so we're not encouraging this to become a partisan issue.
And so do you have that kind of broad support, say, even right now amongst your volunteers? I mean, are you really getting people involved from all sides of the political spectrum? Because
You
don't ask. Okay. Oil and gas has been always really framed as a partisan issue.
That's true. But in the Longmont campaign, which happened in 2012, I actually did an analysis of that campaign. And there were definitely, precinct by precinct, there were definitely precincts where there were Democrats and unaffiliateds, and the vote for the initiative was greater than the number of Democrats and unaffiliateds, which meant that it had Republican support, too. It meant it covered all three.
So right now, you are in the petition signature gathering phase. If people are listening and they would like to get involved somehow, what are the opportunities? How might they get involved? How might they get in touch?
Oh, they can get involved in several ways. I mean, first, of course, is carrying petitions. They can hold house parties. They can donate. The best way to do that is to either contact us through info@yesforhealthandsafety.org or to go to the website yesforhealthandsafety.org. Those are the best ways to reach us.
There's also a measure that could also be on the ballot that would make it very difficult for this type of initiative to actually make it to the ballot. One that is really trying to, it's being framed as protecting the Constitution. The upside of that is it would make it much harder for this type of citizen-led ballot initiative. What are your thoughts on that?
I think that's unfortunate for democracy. Anyone who has tried to run a ballot campaign as a citizen finds that it isn't easy at all. It may be easier for corporations to do that or big moneyed interests, but it is not easy for regular people, even at this stage. So what that would do is it would make it possible only for big moneyed interests.
Now, Tricia, you live locally here in Boulder County. Have you had any personal experience with fracking coming up or people that you've met? I mean, what are some of the stories?
Sure. Throughout in doing this, I have met many people. I've met people who've been sick approaching the industry. I've met many people who've had problems with asthma, particularly asthma. That's the first impact that shows up. And in fact, there was a 16% increase in asthma in Weld County, where a lot of the fracking is, between, I think it was 2000, it was two or three, and 2013, which were the heavy fracking years. So yes, people are being impacted. People describe the noises, the sounds. I mean, the odors they describe becoming nauseous, headaches. And of course, the more serious impacts take a while to manifest. So absolutely, I've met those people.
Well, Tricia Olson is the executive director of Coloradans Resisting Extreme Energy Development. They are hoping to have two measures on the November ballot, Initiative 75, Local Governmental Control of Oil and Gas Development, and Initiative 78, Mandatory Setbacks from Oil and Gas Development. They have a lot more information at their website, which we will link to at kgnu.org. And Tricia, I know we will have you back on KGNU, certainly as we get closer to November. Thank you very much.
Thank you.